I have a friend. He's a pastor friend, and we've been buddies since seminary. And he used to say, you know how back in the 60s and, well, 70s anyway, that with the Jesus movement, everybody would go around and, you know, give the peace sign, and Christians would say, keep the faith, you know, keep the faith. And my friend Gary would say, don't keep the faith, share it. Well, we're going to be talking today and next Sunday about sharing the faith. And, you know, what's the source of your faith? What's the source of mine? What's the authority for our faith? It's how valuable is God's word to you? How does it shape your convictions? Jaime prayed today about the world that we live in. And he's not a negative guy. He's very engaged with people. But yet the world around us, just in so many ways, in our country, he prayed, you know, good is now bad and bad is now good. And some other authorities step in and they vie, and they were almost mocked in many, many cases because, you really believe that? You believe that about the family? You believe that about marriage? You believe that about raising your children? You believe that about, you know, how children are learning and the role that that parents are having in the lives of their kids? Really? You really do? The questions that you'll see in the back of your notes today, what's happening? We're going to ask this question because we're talking about the value of the Word of God. Among our greatest assets, you know, we sing, take the world, but give me Jesus. That old, old song, take the world, but give me Jesus. But in our opening paragraph, I wrote, you see, our greatest assets have to do with the Word of God, the gospel, that has been implanted in our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need to take great care with that asset. Take care of that asset, the Word of God. Personally, every single one of us, we need to take care of that asset. Not so that we can hoard it for our own benefit, but so that we can share it with great confidence that the Word of God says what God means it to say. Who did that for you? Who did that for you? Believed God's Word was God's Word, and His Word and His very words were really, really important. Somebody shared that with you if you're a follower of Christ. And God wants all of us to value the Word and share with great confidence what God's Word has to say with our children, with our spouse, with our neighbors, co-workers, with people that we just kind of rub shoulders with, and somehow the conversation's going to, it has the potential for being serious and just engaging people with truth. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 13 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. I'm reading from the New International Version. Paul writes this as he is waiting in a Roman prison. And he knows what the verdict is. He's going to be executed. But this is what it's almost like, just, I want you to hear this, like, it's like, what do I have to leave you, Timothy? This is it. Verse 13, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia, where Paul had a wonderful ministry, has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Father, this is your word. Sometimes we can feel feeble in the just to know or understand it. Sometimes we just wonder how effective we can be at sharing this with the people around us. But this is your word that comes to us by the Holy Spirit who is in us. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that we will see wonderful things in your word. Make us alert, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a few other translations of verse 13 to you. And you can look at your Bible right now on your lap or on your phone, on a tablet. The New American Standard, verse 13, New American Standard says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're a parent, if you have a friend or a fellow student or a person that you work with, can you now think of this? Hear yourself maybe saying that to the people in your family system. You know, the things that you've heard and seen in me, retain, hold on to the words, the very words that I spoke to you. Don't forget these. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. The King James Bible, I have, I asked you a question at the beginning in your notes. The question is, talk about a Bible. This is kind of the starter question. And kind of warm you up. Talk about a Bible that brings some special joy to your life, and why? Is there some special Bible? So yesterday, I've got a couple of King James Bibles that I use often during the week. Helps me understand. Even though I've got my Greek New Testament on my book stand and use it every week. I go to the King James as well. And I was thinking about a couple of testaments in the King James Version. One is a testament that my wife gave me during college. Just a little tiny, thin testament. But I also pulled out last night the one that my mom and dad gave me, the King James Bible, in it was 1959, the year I was born. No, and I'm kidding. I was in eighth grade that year, the year I came to Christ. King James Bible says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me." Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says, "Follow the pattern of sound words." Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Are you communicating that to the people around you, people in your small group? You see, your children, your parents, are you using the words? How important are the words to you? You know, this is referred to, the book is referred to as God's Word. But there's another reference to the Word. And the Word, in the beginning, was the Word. In the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was being God. Who are we referring to? Jesus is the Word. The writer of the book of Hebrews starts out... It starts out that this is, God spoke in days past through the fathers and the prophets in many forms and in many ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And when people looked at him, they were getting this beautiful, full picture of who God is, because he is the Son of God. He is the one who created the world by his words, Jesus, who holds the word, according to Colossians chapter 1, who holds the world together by his words. Words convey. We are so blessed to have God's word, aren't we? How blessed. We don't have to scratch our heads and say, well, you know, there's a lot of ideas as to who God is. A lot of different ideas. And, you know, this religion offers these ideas, and this religion offers these ideas. And, you know, what we really need to do is put them all together. And yeah, right. Put them all together, and you'll be about as even more confused than our political system and all the stuff that politics is telling us to keep everybody a little bit happy in their little corner, their own little niche. Come on. God's word is his word. He doesn't want any of his creation to be kind of caught out in the dark, wondering who he is. Come on, believe him. He lets us know. And Paul writes this. And I want you to think. We're gonna just put yourself in this first century. Where do you think Timothy went when he wanted to buy a copy of the Bible? Come on, no, he didn't have a Christian bookstore down the road from him. You know, Timothy didn't say to him, "I want you to turn to First Chronicles." And no, I want you to turn to First Corinthians, chapter. No, he didn't. He couldn't do it. The Word of God was on parchments, and it was going from person to person. And when Paul wrote letters, he wrote these letters to be read to people like us in the various churches. We're reading a personal letter to Timothy, and it was not to be kept in Timothy's footlocker. It wasn't. No, it was to be read to God's people then and in every century since then and now, translated in the heart language of people and continues to be translated into the heart language of people all over the world. We were talking this week about the work of Wycliffe Bible translators, putting the work of God, the Word of God, into the hands of people so they don't have to guess as to who God is and what he wants. It is so, so important. It tells us who God is. It gives us his precious promises and a very clear understanding of what his will is. Paul told the Colossian church that he had never met, but in that letter, he said, every time I think about you, he's writing this, and that letter is going to go to one Bible study after another Bible study after another Bible study. He said, ever since I heard about your faith, you know, I've prayed that you will grow in the knowledge of God's will. And the amazing thing is, folks, God's will is really clear. And we can all know about probably 99.9% of God's will. Oh, we have really big questions. Well, did he want me to wear black socks this morning? Come on. I mean, and then other questions in between that and the really ridiculous. But we want to know God's will, but we can know how God wants us to respond throughout life. Listen to these words. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says, he talks about somebody who's not walking along with people who are pursuing wickedness or standing and talking to them or sitting with them. But he said, the person that is blessed is the person, this person, whose roots go down deep. He said he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Who's the person that's so blessed? It is the person in Psalm 1 who meditates on God's word when? Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And whatsoever he does prospers. How can you know God's wonderful will and prosper in life? Know his word. Embrace it. Meditate on it. Joshua 1, as the Israel stands poised to go into the land of promise. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law. Now he's just dealing with the first five books of the Bible, but he's dealing with God's word that describes his will. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so as to be careful to do everything that it says in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will find success. Why am I having such a tough time with my boss? What's the answer? Why am I troubled in my relationship with my kids? Oh, or my spouse? Come on. What do I do, Lord? Meditate on my word day and night, and you will make your way in prosperity and success. I mean, not talking about where should I put my money in the market? Come on. This thing's a whole lot more important than that. It has always to do with our relationships to the people around us. And most important, it describes his relationship with us. Where did Paul get the words that he, it sounds like it could be pretty arrogant, right? Verse 13 in the NIV, What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. You want to know what to teach, Timothy? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a little bit. That's what he's saying. Just in the next chapter, just keep reading. But wait, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern. You need to really pay attention to this, the pattern of what I'm saying, the very words, the sound doctrine. Where did he get these words? Where did he get this doctrine? He got it directly from Jesus. And he makes that very, very clear. I did not have a predisposition to write nice letters about Jesus. I didn't. I hated him. I hated all of his followers. And I did this about face when I met him on the road to Damascus to bring a bunch of Christian prisoners back to Jerusalem to be slaughtered, because I hated them. And Jesus made it very, very clear. My life was not my own. He made it very, very clear. And Paul kept telling this story. You think, you know, we like to say, you know, I really know what I'm talking about. I'm an authority. Paul would, you know, wasn't he brilliant? He was brilliant. But he doesn't say, I was really brilliant. The only time he talks about his training, he said, the stuff that I counted as so important, it's now like me falling in love with manure. Seriously, he's saying, all my credits stink compared to knowing him and the power of his resurrection. And he turned me on my heels. And he made it clear to me and the people around me, here's your special assignment. You know all those Gentiles that you hate? Well, I've chosen you to take the good news about me to them, as well as to the Jews. And Paul kept, he said this to kings. He said this to Roman rulers. He eagerly desired to take that message. You see, the words that I have, they're not mine. I got these words by revelation from Jesus himself and the Spirit of God, who was the Holy Spirit, who was working just like Jesus promised it would happen in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. All this is going on. So Timothy, now listen, you have a job. And I'm just telling you, because they could open the cell door at any time and walk in, and I'm going to get a foot shorter. It's going to be, you know, so here's the deal. Keep the words that I'm giving you. The words are critically important. What did he do with the words? He internalized the words that Jesus gave him. He internalized those. Do you internalize the Word of God? Internalize it. The Bible says if you meditate on it, you just keep repeating the words. It could be you memorize them, but it's more than memorizing them. It's chewing on the words. Chewing. It's the word is to ruminate like a cow, chewing and chewing and chewing what it eats. Keep, just draw out every morsel of that word. He internalized the word. He taught the word repeatedly. He put it into action in his life. You know, we say, well, we ask questions. You know, man, that's just these are just exercises, really? Well, these questions are meant to do what Paul was doing, and that was putting God's word into action. Or do you just go home after a message and say, well, that was kind of a long message. Man, he was kind of on a one track today. It wasn't so funny. Well, put it into action. Apply it to your life. Talk with people about what are you going to do with what you just heard? Our growth groups, that's what we're supposed to, but talk with people. Talk about it over lunch. Talk about it as the week goes on, because you're internalizing it. You're chewing on it. What were the themes of what Paul had to say? All these different things in all of these letters and to all these people that he was talking about during the brief time that God gave him on earth. Not as brief as Jesus had. He was talking about the gospel. He was talking about spiritual maturity. He was talking about growing in Christ and being set apart for his service. Everyone who comes to Christ is set aside for God's purpose in your life. He was talking about that. He was talking about the wisdom and love of God, the superiority of God over wonderful religious things that all these Jewish people loved. He was far superior to the temple, the place of worship. He was far superior to the priesthood. He was far superior to the prophets. He's far superior to the angels. Far. He was talking about his sovereignty. Why did he stress the importance of words? Words are to be retained. If you lost your Bible, how lost would you be? Oh, I know, you could go buy another one. You lost your Bible, you left it home on a trip, you didn't bring it to church. Well, you've got your phone, right? That's what I know. The guys when they're up in the balcony, I know that they all, you know, they'll get their phones out, and I'm sure that they're just reading the word, taking notes. Right, guys? Well, it's wonderful to have these the word in our phones. The words are to be cared for and to be retained. The message is in the words. The importance of taking the words seriously is critically important. Our faith is informed by the word. By the word. I don't have anything worth saying. Do I have an amen? What's he mean? I have nothing really of any. My words are not authoritative, but God's word is. We want to come back to these words. Paul said, retain the words, keep the words. In verse 14, then he says this, really, really important. Guard the good deposit which is in you. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. How in the world do you, how is Timothy to guard the good deposit? Well, you know, there are so many other authorities out there. So many other authorities. And they give their little brand of truth again. They tell us that you will find meaning in life, your meaning in life, if you finally get on the right side of history with regard to marriage. I'm talking about marriage that is, I've been to weddings where the words were, you know how you hear at the beginning, I'm going to do a wedding today for this afternoon for Danny Hall and his fiance, Nelly Lopez. And it'll be a short wedding. They've got a commandant for a wedding planner. So I've got to keep to the schedule. But you know, we will say words, you know, like But marriage is the coming together of two people, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. But I've heard some weddings that just fall victim to the culture that we live in. I've heard this at least a couple times by the same person. Marriage is a promise between two persons. Between two persons. Can't you say between a man and a woman? But we have other authorities, and they're telling us what is politically correct. Here's a word for you, baloney. I'm sorry. It's just guard the good deposit, the gospel, the word of God that has been implanted in you. Timothy, guard it. It is the teachings, the doctrines. The good deposit is the grace of God, the fullness of God, of the deity of Christ, the authority of the word, the resurrection, the work of the Holy Spirit. Guard that good deposit that is in you. And don't let go of it. No matter who the people in your life are that want to say, you're an idiot. Don't be such a bonehead. Get with the times. How do you think Timothy was to guard the good deposit? How do you guard the good deposit so it continues to be maintained in your life as the number one authority for your faith and your practice of that faith, the application of, what is the number one authority? Is it me? Am I your authority? Was it Paul? No, it was the words that God had given him. Never forget it. How is he to guard it? This Holy Spirit who is in us? Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, it has to abide in us. It's got to be part of our lives daily. What kind of time do you make to meditate on God's word? You know, we're not all necessarily called to be preachers, but we are called to be proclaimers of the word. So kind of let it take hold of you and think about it. Somebody said to me recently, do you have a Bible? Well, I don't. I've got one. It's right beside my bed. Do you read it? Not really. I don't really understand what it says. Open it and read it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. That's how you guard the truth. Ask God for help. I've got skills that I learned in seminary 53 years ago. Skills. I went to the seminary I did because I wanted to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. I use those skills every week to study and to teach and to preach God's word. And I get myself in trouble if I forget to say, Lord, help me understand this. Help me understand how we need to be as a body and what we need to be thinking. Just help me understand, Lord. And walk in the Spirit. We did a whole series basically from the book of Galatians. Don't just vow to be good. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Remember that? Walk in the Spirit. Lord, and again, Jesus said, if you abide in me, hang out with me. That's really a crude way to say it, but hang out with me. Day by day, week by week, hang out with me. In the words. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will. You'll know what to ask. Because it'll come from that abiding in him and his word abiding in us. Meditate on his word, as the scripture says, day and night. So the time is your own. You don't need to worry about abiding, you know. You've got your free time, don't you? If it's not day or night. Come on. He's saying in every aspect of our lives, abide in me. Uphold the word. Be in the practice of upholding the word of God among your friends and family. And if someone's talking smack about, it's a 2,000, 3,000-year-old book. Come on. We like the new, fresh stuff. Guard the truth by rigorous self-honesty with yourself. Rigorous self-honesty. Lord, show me. Like the psalmist David said at the end of Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the life everlasting, in your way. Rigorous self-honesty. Rigorous. Lord, you know, I've been, you know, I make excuses on the truth. Guard the truth of the Word of God by regular worship with God's people. Regular. This is not some just religious activity. I hope it's not to you. But when we sing the songs we sing, when we speak the truth, guard it by worshiping together. Now, I just want to comment. This is just very brief. So Paul has talked about being ashamed. Some people are ashamed of me. And he says in verse 15, you know that everyone in the province of Asia, where I had a great ministry at one time, we wept, all of us spiritual leaders. We wept when I had to leave and I knew I'd never see you again. But since I've been gone and since I've been a prisoner, I get the word that everybody in Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Okay, he's naming names. This is a fact. They've deserted me. But Onesiphorus, now that's a different story. He wasn't ashamed of my chains. The word was important to him. And they've been changing his life, even to the point when I was in prison, locked up and under the threat of death, he searched diligently for me. Regardless of the risk to his own life, regardless of what other people would think, he searched diligently for me. May the Lord grant him mercy in that final day as he stands before me. Not before me, before Jesus. The Word of God will change your life. It will change your life if you come to it with an open mind and an open heart. With an open book, come to it and say, Lord, teach me. Turn with me, please. This will be it before we pray. I love these words from Psalm 119. Johann started out with these words. Verse 97 of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, than the mockers, for they are ever with me. Oh, how I love your law. Would you stand with me in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. We love your word, Lord. We wouldn't know what to believe without it. Thank you for the tremendous way you communicated over centuries, and finally, through Jesus. Thanks for the picture of who you are and of what your will and your ways are. And I pray, Father, that we would all be people of the book, who meditate in your word day and night. And regardless of what the people in our surroundings might say, people we're close to, or people that are just the general public, who hate to think there's only one way, I pray that we would be strong in you, in the Spirit, and that your word would, that we would value it, we would hold to it, we would keep it and guard it. Meditate on it day and night, Lord. Make us strong through your word, we pray. And now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.